The following program is sponsored by Bell and Pollock PC. Welcome to Champions of the People, the Bell and Pollock Injury Show. Attorneys Gary Bell and Brad Pollock are ready to work for you. Reach Gary, Brad, and their team at championsofthepeople.com or by calling 303-795-5900. That's 303-795-5900.
Good morning, Colorado. Here we go. The Bell and Pollock Injury Show. This is the Champions of the People Injury Show. We are injury attorneys. Brad Pollock, I'm Gary Bell. We've had over 30 years of experience each, helping injured victims, helping their families, helping put their lives back together again. And you know what? We started years ago saying to ourselves, people don't know what these rules are. They don't know what the rules of the road are with regard to being in an accident and injured, and we got to tell them. And we've been doing these radio shows for a long time. Welcome to this show in KOA. We're here for you. Our website, championsofthepeople.com. That's championsofthepeople.com. It's an information-loaded website. We have all of our information there, all of our podcasts there, special features, and six books are published, and they're there. And you can download any book free, an e-copy of any book of our books. Our most recent book is The Definitive Guideline on Colorado Car Insurance. Everything you wanted to know is right there. And by the way, that book, Colorado Car Insurance, if you want a hard copy of any of our books, call our law firm or call 303-795-5900. We'll send you a hard copy. But by the way, that book has examples in it of insurance policies, insurance deck sheets, gives you simple explanations, easy to follow. There's arrows pointing to the important parts of the policy and the deck sheet, what you should consider doing and not consider doing. And it's a very valuable insight, and you can have it. And if you have any questions about insurance policies, you can just give us a call. And we'll be glad to help you. We do it every week. Okay, today we're talking about bad faith insurance practices. What does that mean? Bad faith insurance practices. There are certain laws in this state, all states now across the country, that regulate and define the conduct of insurance companies. For a long, long time, you, the consumer, you, the injured victim, didn't have much choice or power to deal with these insurance companies, but that playing field has changed. And there are now common law bad faith causes of action and statutory bad faith causes of action. So let's just talk a little bit about what bad faith is about, explain it, and then we're going to get down to our typical car accident concept.
You know, it's kind of a shame that you have to have laws dealing with bad faith for insurance companies. You start out with a contract for insurance where you're supposed to be protected. The insurance company tells you they're going to protect you. They tell you they'll cover it. They'll tell you they'll take care of it. They'll tell you you have protection. The sales agents will talk to you so much about how much you need this protection to make sure you don't lose everything by one mistake, or you don't lose everything as a result of the mistake of a child or somebody else. And we have all these promises, and they all these sales pitches that are given to you on TV and are given to you everywhere else, trying to tell you what a great deal it is. And then what happens? What happens is when you get your in your crash, or when something happens, you find that the insurance company is anything but acting in good faith. As a matter of fact, they could care less about you. Still, to this day, we haven't gone as far as we need to in protecting people against bad faith, because we do nothing to protect people against the insurance companies taking up your time and causing you to undergo the rigors of a lawsuit. At the same time, they don't talk to you. They tell us as plaintiff's lawyers they talk to you. They tell us as plaintiff's lawyers is what you want and what you don't want, but they don't appropriately talk to you. They don't appropriately advise you. And so what you get into is a situation where, unfortunately, laws had to be passed. We have a developed case law that addresses it. We've had to go back to the contracts and show where it's a breach of contract. You just have to understand that the worst thing that you have to do in this industry is deal with the bad faith of insurance companies, which you can just about bet is happening every day, Gary. I'd have to say it's happening more than every day. It's happening multiple times every day.
Right. There's all kinds of lawsuits across the state on these matters all the time. And so, you know, in the beginning, they're talking about the law, the pure law in the situation. You enter into an insurance program with an insurance company. That's a contract. You have a contract. You pay them a premium, they give you coverage, and they draft the policy, right? You've never been able to change the words of the policy. So one basic legal concept is you have a contract, and if they don't live up to the terms of the contract, they breach the contract. Okay? And so we say, well, that ought to be good enough. And the damages on breach of contract are basically what you were expected to get, what you should get, and what you actually got, the difference between those two concepts. And you say, that ought to be good enough. Well, no, it's not good enough. And many times they do these, they perform these actions intentionally. They don't pay benefits. They reduce them. They minimize them. And this what we're talking about today, we use a typical car accident, and you've been injured in a car accident and dealing with it. But it can also apply to your house, dealing with your own insurance company. But I want to set the framework and the picture. So we have a typical car accident. Let's say you're in your car, you're rear-ended at a stoplight, and now you're injured. So what we're talking about today does not pertain to the insurance company for the at-fault party, the one who hits you. Because that's called third-party liability cases, and that insurance company for the at-fault party owes you no duties or obligations. They're there to beat you, which we preach all the time. Now, what we're talking about today is you're in the accident. You try to make a claim with the at-fault party's insurance company. Let's say they pay you. You resolve that claim, and now you're going to make a UM or UIM claim or a MedPay claim with your own car insurance company. That's what we're talking about today. Your relationship with your own car insurance company. Now, that relationship changes. That insurance company owes you duties because they're your insurance company, and you also owe them duties, so that's what we're going to be talking about today.
Right, and stop and think about it. As we've said now a couple of times in this segment, you enter into a contract with that insurance company where you agree to pay them money so that they will protect you. That's what they're supposed to be doing. They protect you from being made subject to losing your assets or losing your income or having other restrictions put on you or having to file bankruptcy. You enter into this contract so that they can protect you against those efforts that can be made by the injured party. Now, when you start going through it, you stop to think that, yes, we do have a law that says 25-50. And there is a large number of people out there that carry 25-50, and maybe they sign up just because it's the law, just because they have to. But as people start getting more and more into a situation where they have assets, where they have a home, where they have a car, where they have a bank account, where they have some stocks, where they have property, where they have different items that are value to them, they start realizing, I need insurance to cover me, to protect me in case I or someone else in my household makes a mistake, and I need to have insurance that will pay every bit as much as why you have health insurance in case you get sick, and every bit as much as why you have life insurance to make sure there's money left for your loved ones in the event you die. So you get this insurance, and you expect the insurance company from whom you're buying the insurance and who you're paying the premium. You pay the premium. You expect them to be there to help you and to protect you and to put your interests paramount to anything else in the event you make a mistake.
Right. You can give us a call anytime at 303-795-5900, 795-5900. Our website is championsofthepeople.com. That's championsofthepeople.com. Okay, let's give you an example. Suppose you're in this accident, you're rear-ended in this accident, and by this car, and let's say they do have insurance. This would apply even if they didn't have insurance, but let's say they have insurance, and it's the minimum statutory minimum of $25,000, right? Let's say your medical bills they're at $60,000, and that doesn't count your other damages, injuries, losses. It doesn't count the anatomical injuries. It doesn't count the orthopedic injuries. It doesn't count the concussion. Let's just say your medical bills are $60,000, and the liability policy is for the person who hits you is $25,000. There's not enough money there. So you collect the $25,000, and then you go make the claim, your UIM claim, underinsured motorist claim, with your own car insurance company. And then, that's the fight starts. That's when they owe you duties and obligations. So then let's say, Brad, that you make the claim, the UIM claim, with your own car insurance company for the $60,000 and the rest of your injuries, damages, and losses. And they say, okay, we're going to pay you $15,000. Total for everything, and you say, wait a minute, 15 plus the 25, that's $40,000. That doesn't cover even my medical bills of $60,000. This is what we're talking about today. They start to enter into bad faith insurance practices with you. They start to breach their duties, and so let's just talk about that a second.
Right, and that's what they're going to do, and then they're going to try to talk about standards within the contract. on what they have to pay. And, you know, standard of the contract is something that has to be looked at. The first thing you have to do is go to the contract. And they, you know, most good lawyers, when you start to say, I have my insurance company won't pay me on my underinsured motors or uninsured motors coverage, most good lawyers are going to say, we need to see a copy of your contract. We need to see a copy of the policy. We need to see a copy of the deck page. We need to see exactly what your protections are. I think I say this every single show, and I'm going to say it again right now in this segment so everybody understands. None of this counts if you waive your UIM. None of it counts. You cannot waive your uninsured, underinsured motorist coverage. You must have it. None of this counts if you waive MedPay. If you waive these basic protections and basic coverages, you're going to be in a world of hurt when next time you're in a crash and the person that hits you doesn't have insurance or doesn't have enough insurance. So once you have it, and assuming you have it, now we start talking about what does it say it covers and how does it cover you and how much is it going to cover? And do you have an adjuster who's going to properly and fairly adjust how much you're entitled to as a result of the injuries that were inflicted on you?
Right. And how do you tell this? I mean, what do you do with all this information? You've been injured. You collected the $25,000 from your own insurance. I mean, from the liability insurance company. Now you want to collect from your own insurance company and they don't want to pay you, or they want to delay you, or deny part of it and pay part of it, or lowball it. And so what do you do? What do you actually do? How does this come together? And how do you find these so-called standards that your insurance company is supposed to live up to? How do you find them? What do you do with them? And how does that help you, the injured victim? Because as Brad said, you must first have the coverage. And when you do, then you need to know what the standards are. So next up, we're going to be talking about these standards and what it means for you as an injured victim to make them comply. Bell and Pollock will be right back.
It's Mandy Connell, and it's time for Your Legal Minute, brought to you by my friends at Bell and Pollock. Listen to their show right here on KOA every Saturday at 10 a.m.
Hi, I'm Gary Bell of the law firm of Bell and Pollock. We are injury attorneys. This is Your Legal Minute. Today, we're talking about MedPay. What is MedPay, by the way? MedPay is on your own car insurance policy. It's there to pay your medical bills in case you're injured in a car crash, a collision. It's there to pay your medical bills, your reasonable and necessary medical bills, and they pay your medical bills regardless of fault. Therefore, you want your med pay as high as you can afford, by the highest limits you can get. We say this all the time. And by the way, if the accident is not your fault and you recover money from the at-fault party, then you don't have to pay the med pay back. That's how important this is. Gary Bell, Bell and Pollock, champions of the people. Give us a call. We'll help you.
Bell and Pollock. Find them online at championsofthepeople.com.
We're back with Champions of the People, the Bell and Pollock Injury Show. For over three decades, the personal injury attorneys at Bell and Pollock have provided compassionate, personalized legal service. Put their experience to work for you. Go to championsofthepeople.com or call 303-795-5900.
Good morning. Welcome back. Fasten your seatbelt. Here we go. The Bell and Pollock Injury Show. It's the Champions of the People Injury Show. Our website is championsofthepeople.com. Championsofthepeople.com. And our telephone number is 303-795-5900. This is the only show of its kind. We are an injury attorney, and Brad and I both have over 30 years of experience helping injured victims heal their wounds, get paid, get legitimate compensation from the insurance company, and go on with your lives and put your lives back together again. We can do it for you. If you come see us, we'll give you a free initial consultation and a free legal game plan. We think that concept is so important, we trademark protected it, and we wrote a book entitled Legal Game Plan. Face it, the insurance company has a game plan or strategy against you, to beat you and defeat your claim. And so you can get our free book, Legal Game Plan, on our website, championsofthepeople.com. Okay, our example today that we were talking about, you're rear-ended, you're sitting at a stoplight, you're rear-ended, and the person who hits you only has the minimum $25,000 of coverage. You collect the $25,000, your medical bills alone are $60,000 and growing and ongoing and increasing. And so you go to collect the remaining part over and above the $25,000 from your own car insurance company under the UIM, underinsured motorist protection, right? We've preached on this for years. So you go to collect it, and so they say we're going to pay an extra $15,000. So 25 plus 15, that's 40 grand. You say, wait a minute, that doesn't even count cover my medical bills. And they say, well, that's it. Take it or leave it. So what are these standards? What are these duties these insurance companies owe to you? Now, we're talking about your insurance company in this show, not the other person's insurance company, your own car insurance company. And they have certain duties and obligations, and they can't just ignore you. One of the strongest duties is they can't give you legal and or medical opinions. They can't read your medical records, for example, when you make the claim and say, well, you know, you really don't have a situation that requires a discectomy, or you don't really have a facet joint injury, or you don't really have an atlantoaxial injury. That's a medical opinion. They're not qualified. And when they do that, they step outside the bounds. So that's one of the parameters and standards we're talking about, right? So the adjuster you're dealing with your own car insurance company that you want to get paid has duties. Another one is they have to promptly investigate the claims. Promptly. I mean, I've seen cases where they don't even get around to it for 2 months, 3 months, 3.5 months. And when they do, they don't thoroughly investigate the claim. So then you're going to start to kick in the bad faith laws, which is what we're talking about today.
Right. Now, when we do this and when you're involved in this kind of situation, once again, this is where you need to have your legal game plan. You have to understand what your game plan is. This is where you have to look at your contract. This is where you have to look at the information. Because any contract of insurance you have is going to require that in your first party claim, and when you hear those are specific words, first party claim, in your claim against your own insurance company. It's important that you understand you have to cooperate with them. So you need to make sure that you're cooperating with them. You need to make sure that you're doing the things that are required of you. But then at that point, they have certain requirements. The insurance company will continue to have certain requirements throughout the entire time that they are adjusting your claim. They cannot misrepresent facts or insurance policy provisions relating to coverage. Watch out for that. And if you don't think that happens, once again, you need to spend a little time just looking and seeing what we live with on an everyday world when we're dealing with insurance adjusters and attorneys who will misrepresent what the contract calls for. They'll misrepresent what the coverage is. They'll misrepresent how the coverage should be provided. They'll misrepresent whether or not you're even covered. You need to make sure that you have a look at this and you have an experienced attorney taking a look at it. The next thing is, do they fail to acknowledge or act reasonably, promptly, upon communications with respect to claims arising under the insurance policy? Are they acting promptly in communicating with you and getting back to you on your communications? Now, they're going to try, they always try, to make this door swing both ways. So when they make a door swing both ways, you've got to be prompt in getting back to them once you're in this stage of communications. Once again, you know, if any of you are involved in this or get involved in it, first question you ask your attorney if they pick up the phone and talk to the adjuster. And if they say yes, you might think about getting a different attorney. You know, it's that simple. Because yes, the attorney should respond promptly to communications, but that prompt response should normally be in writing.
Right. And, you know, and that point Brad is making there is the insurance companies try to make your attorney a witness in the case and try to make them disqualified from representing you. So you have to know the rules of the road. We're talking about the standards the insurance company, your own car insurance company, has to adhere to and comply with to adjust your injury claim once you've been injured and there's not enough insurance from the at-fault party's insurance company. Our example is $25,000 of liability coverage. You collect that from the at-fault party's insurance company. And then you make a claim and your medical bills are $60,000. We can't cover every standard they're required to comply with. Just to understand, they owe you duties and obligations. The Colorado Supreme Court has defined it basically as a quasi-fiduciary obligation and relationship between you and your insurance company. Quasi-fiduciary has a lot of ins and outs and meanings, but understand, just know the simple rules. They owe you duties. They owe you obligations. They have obligations to you. They're supposed to comply. Now, we have common law bad faith. That's what we're talking about. We have statutory bad faith. Those are the two broad stroke characteristics and categories. Common law bad faith has a little bit more stringent requirements proof-wise against your insurance company, but you need to know they're there. When we get to the statutory bad faith, which is a statute passed within the past 6-7 years, it provides easier, not easy, but easier and more lenient standards of proof against the insurance company, which they don't like a lot. So the common law bad faith, you have to be able to prove that they acted unreasonably, And either they didn't care what their position was, didn't care, didn't investigate it enough, didn't care to even look or call witnesses or talk to doctors or get medical records, and or they acted recklessly with regard to your claim. That was a little bit tougher standard of proof. Brad, let's talk about the statutory bad faith, which was a statute passed in Colorado. We commonly call it as the statutory bad faith or two-time statute, and that's very important.
Sure. The two-time statute is very important because it has some teeth to the fact that they act in bad faith. And it, you know, first of all, the statutory scheme is pretty simple. It identifies for you certain practices that the insurance company must carry out, certain practices the insurance company can't violate, certain practices the insurance company has to follow. Once again, if you're sitting out there wondering, like I did when I first saw all of this, is why do we have to have these practices laid out as far as what exactly the insurance company should or shouldn't do, or how they should be carrying out their practices, or how they should be adjusting a claim, or what they should be doing, and how are they acting in bad faith? And you're saying, shouldn't the insurance industry just be taking care of that and not giving you that kind of problem? And the answer is, I'm sorry to tell you, no, the insurance company's not going to do that. Now, you also have unwritten standards, and we can talk about both sides of that, but we get certain written standards. And one of the places we can look is the Unfair Claims Settlement Practices Act. Yes, we have one in Colorado that identifies certain requirements and certain things the insurance company should do. You know, for instance, does the insurance company, has it adopted and implement reasonable standards for the prompt investigation of your claim? Is it going to investigate your claim promptly? Does it have practices? Does it have procedures to do that? Is it going to refuse to pay claims without conducting a reasonable investigation? And that's a lot what Gary's talking about in his example. Okay, wait a minute. I have $65,000 in medical bills. They gave me $25,000. You want to give me $15,000. That takes me to $40,000. I'm $25,000 short to even pay my medical bills. That doesn't talk about that my inconvenience, my non-economic damages. That doesn't talk about my loss of time from work. It doesn't talk about future medicals. This is just the basic dollars that are sitting there in the medical bills. And, you know, okay, did you conduct a reasonable investigation? What did you do to determine why I should only get this extra $15,000 when we realize that I've been paying a premium for $100,000 of uninsured motorist coverage? I should have $100,000 of coverage, not $15,000.
Right. And then when they say they're not going to pay you, they're just not going to pay you, take it or leave it. Okay. So then that's where the bad faith laws kick in. And you have common law bad faith, which I just covered, a little bit a stricter standard of proof, but you also have statutory bad faith. So keep that in mind. Common law is the law we inherited from England and came over to this country. Common law is case law. Case law. It's not statutory law. Statutory law comes from the legislature. So both laws apply to these insurance companies. Common law, bad faith. We have to basically prove that they knew something, they disregarded it, and it was reckless on one element of the proof. They intentionally disregarded certain facts. A little bit harder standard of proof. However, on the statutory bad faith, and I want you to pay attention to this very carefully, you got to be able to prove that they denied or delayed, right? Denied or delayed your payment. And you're thinking, well, okay, that's a little bit easier. I can see that. They denied or delayed your payment, and the denial or delay or denial was not reasonable. There's your standard of proof. There's your requirements. They delayed or denied your payment and it wasn't reasonable. And that's why they don't like the statute so much. And now it's called statutory bad faith. But you need an experienced attorney. And we're just covering the tip of the iceberg today on bad faith. But you have common law bad faith. You have the statutory bad faith. And you need to have your attorney know these laws. I know what these insurance companies do with them. And what do you discover? What do you go after when they won't pay you? Because in the example, you're way upside down. They didn't pay your medical bills, and you still have damages, injury, and losses. And you bought an insurance policy for $100,000. And you thought they were going to pay you because you paid your premium. And I've heard people tell me, I've been with this company for 26 years, 15 years, 34 years, and they're not going to pay me. They're not even going to pay my medical bills. And I didn't create these medical bills. I didn't cause these medical bills. I didn't cause these injuries. And they should pay. So enter stage right, the concepts of insurance bad faith, common law bad faith, statutory bad faith. Next up, we're going to be talking about how this actually applies to your injury claim and to your MedPay claim. Bell and Pollock, our website, championsofthepeople.com. We'll be right back.
We're back with Champions of the People, the Bell and Pollock Injury Show. For over three decades, the personal injury attorneys at Bell and Pollock have provided compassionate, personalized legal service. Put their experience to work for you. Go to championsofthepeople.com or call 303-795-5900.
Good morning. Welcome back. Fasten your seatbelt. Grab your coffee. Here we go. The Champions of the People Injury Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. Our law firm is Bell and Pollock. We have offices in Greenwood Village, Denver, Steamboat Springs. We do cases all over the state of Colorado and have for years. We do injury cases. We do workers' compensation cases. We're glad to help you. We've written a book on workers' compensation. We've written a book on injury cases. We've written a book on hit and run. We call it Cowards of the Street Hit and Run. Go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. That's championsofthepeople.com, and you can download free an ebook, or if you want a hard copy, just call our law firm. Okay, so we were talking about common law bad faith. You're in this accident. One more time, you're rear-ended. The at-fault party's insurance is $25,000, the minimum. That's not enough. Your medical bills are $60,000, and your insurance company, under the UIM provision, your own insurance company is what we're talking about, offers you $15,000, and that doesn't even pay for your medical bills. So, Brad, then this whole area of common law, bad faith and statutory bad faith morphs into and includes many times deceptive trade practices.
It certainly does. And that's why we have a statute that specifically talks about deceptive trade practices. Last time I looked, Gary, I think there's well over 30 different entries of what can be a deceptive trade practice when you start putting them all together and you start looking at them. What kind of information they're using, how they're using the information, how fast they're using the information, what they're doing with the information. Unfortunately, a lot of times, because of the way things are written, and it's not the legislature's fault, once again, this is what insurance companies and insurance defense lawyers do. They try to put together complications. They try to make it hard. They try to confuse the entire issue, because if they can confuse the issue, then they have a better chance of confusing juries or making it look like it's much more complicated. Now, when you first started out today, and before you heard this show, you probably thought, well, gee, it sure seems like you wouldn't have an unreasonable delay, and we ought to be able to know it when we see it. But insurance companies will start talking about whether or not something is really an unfair trade practice or something that shouldn't be done, or something that insurance companies normally do, and how they think it is fair to do things that really are not correct. Our Colorado legislature has gone so far as to have to put in things like that it's an unfair trade practice to mislead or misrepresent the financial condition of any person or the legal reserve system upon which a life insurer operates. They've gone so far as to say, you in insurance companies, you can't misrepresent the benefits available. You can't misrepresent the dividends or shares or a surplus to be received on any insurance policy. You can't misrepresent certain things. That, you know, think about it. Should you really have to pass a law to tell an insurance company you can't misrepresent stuff, but yet the insurance company will do it? And it comes down to unfair trade practices. What in the world are they doing? And are they doing it in a way that is honest and fair to their own insured?
You know, sometimes these insurance companies do pay, and sometimes they do pay a fair amount. So we're not talking about those cases. We're talking about the insurance companies or the agents or the adjusters that don't. And that happens a lot. So there are good insurance companies out there, and that needs to be considered in this whole picture. But we're talking about the ones that don't pay or visit upon you circumstances where they're going to delay or deny. Remember the statutory bad faith cause of action, delay or denial that's not reasonable. It says part and part of this whole process, and as a subset, right, of this bad faith, statutory bad faith and common law bad faith, as a subset, we have the Deceptive Trade Practices Act, which really sets forth specific guidelines. So if you file a claim with your insurance company and you don't hear back from them, and they don't fairly investigate or quickly or promptly investigate your claim, that is one of the elements of a deceptive trade practice, which then goes into common law bad faith. And I think you see how this works. If they don't adopt reasonable standards to investigate your claim. But a lot of what happens is they come out or they review your medical records in an injury claim and they say, okay, we're going to offer you, in our example, $15,000. But that doesn't even pay your medical bills. Can that by itself be an act of bad faith? Can that create an act of bad faith when they completely ignore the rest of your medical bills? And we're not even talking about the rest of your damages, injuries, and losses.
Of course. And it should be an act of bad faith. It should be something for which they have to. And remember, if you don't have these statutes, they go, so what? It's not going to affect us. If lawyers don't institute these practices and don't attack these practices, if lawyers don't go after these practices and use these statutes, it's so what? We're going to ignore your medical bills. We're not going to consider them. We're not going to reasonably and promptly even look into them. We're not going to use people who are supposed to be qualified and trained to look into them. And a lot of times, I believe even the selective choice of certain experts can be bad faith, because they know they're picking people who they know are not going to be neutral in their review of the medical records and medical bills. But as they pick these people, as they do this, they know it's bad faith and they know what they're doing. And you need a statute that gives some teeth to the fact that they didn't properly consider the medical bills. Because if not, you go in and you prove they didn't properly consider the medical bills, they should have considered the medical bills. They go, oh, sorry, I guess the jury's right, we should have considered the medical bills. We'll pay you what the medical bill amount is. Well, now you've waited a year to 2 years to be able to get your medical bills paid. You've gone through all the hassles that are there because of not having your bills paid. You've had to use a lawyer. You've had to go to trial. You've had to go through a deposition. Your lawyer is going to charge you. And now you're in a situation where you're going, well, wait a minute. Whoa. How do I come out even close to equal or even when I've had all this expense just to get my medical bills paid?
Right. And, you know, and then you say, well, I bought $250,000 of UIM because Bell and Pollock told me to buy the highest amounts I could buy. Or I bought $500,000 of UIM with my own car insurance company so I would be protected and covered, and they're not willing to pay me. And they're going to make me go to litigation. And they won't even pay for my medical bills. And I paid them my premium for 26 years. What is going on here? What is all this about? That's what this is about. It gives teeth to your argument. It gives teeth to your position. But you must be able to fight. You can win this war. You can win this war. You can call us anytime at 303-795-5900, 795-5900, or go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. Now, I want to just do a little diversion here, not much, but a little diversion. Brad just said something that was critical and very important. Because when you file a UIM claim and you're injured and they're looking at your medical bills, they say your medical bills are not reasonable and necessary, so we're not going to pay all of them. We're going to pay part of them. And I said this before. That's the same saying to your doctor that you go to, your own doctor, your family doctor you've been to for 20 years. He or she's not charging you reasonable charges. Wow. Next point. When you file this claim, this UIM claim, and they're going to send you to one of their doctors. And so, Brad, let's talk about this part of the bad faith, because they're going to say, okay, you have orthopedic injuries, or you got spinal surgery evaluation, and so we need a second opinion, or you got a physical pain physiatrist that we're going to use. And so we, the insurance company, we're going to ask you to send your client, the injured victim, you're the injured victim, we're going to send you to one of our doctors, or more than one of our doctors. How about three of our doctors? Let's just talk about those doctors.
And that's the problem. These doctors that they send, that they'll send you to, are doctors who spend a lot of their time, a great deal of their time, doing nothing more than doing these reports for insurance companies. They do an examination of you. Usually it's a very cursory examination. It's, let's take a look at you. They do it in a way to try and trick you. Most of the time they want to trick you. And then they get paid a lot of money by the insurance company to say that you don't have these injuries, to say that the treatment wasn't appropriate, to say that the bills were too high. These same doctors who were saying that, if you broke down the rates they're charging and how much they're getting from the insurance companies, they're charging more than your doctors are to take care of you. But they're out there, and they are doctors who make millions of dollars from the insurance company. It's many on an annual basis in order to be there for the insurance company to say there's nothing wrong with you, to say that you're not hurt. And this becomes a very, very difficult practice because these doctors are trained. They've a number of them will go through whatever it takes to be able to be smooth and look really good on the witness stand, to be able to attack your doctors. They like to go cross-discipline so they can attack a number of your doctors, and they do that because now they know they're upping the expense for you to get your own doctors in. Your own doctors are not these hired guns, as they would be called, to be able to go into court, so your own doctors are concerned about treating you. And next thing you know, they're being attacked, being told that what they've done for you isn't appropriate, or what they've done for you shouldn't have been done, or what they've done for you is being overcharged. And all of a sudden, a doctor who just simply brought you in and gave you care is now being put in the firing line by doctors who have been hired by insurance companies to do nothing more than to attack.
Right. And so your own doctor, they're attacking your own doctor either impliedly or explicitly by saying, right, that your doctor's charges aren't reasonable and necessary. It's almost laughable sometimes when you look at the charges, and Brad just said it, when you look at the charges of these so-called insurance doctors you are sent to, right? You're sent to because you're injured, and we have the right under the policy to send you to a medical doctor. It's almost laughable when their charges are higher than your doctor's charges, your personal physician charges, but they're saying your personal physician charges aren't reasonable. They're not reasonable, but they charge, the doctors from the insurance companies charge more than the primary treating doctors. So it's almost laughable. It's not laughable because it's so serious. You need to know what you're doing. You need to have a legal game plan. Bell and Pollock has one for you. Give us a call at 303-795-5900. 795-5900. You get a free initial consultation and a free legal game plan. You get a free copy of our book. You can have one right now. You can go to our website, championsofthepeople.com, and download a free e-copy of our book. You're going to go through this navigation of this insurance maze. What do you want on your side? Experience? Yes. Lawyers the insurance companies understand will fight? Yes. Bell and Pollock. Our website, championsofthepeople.com. We'll be right back.
Honey, the kids are going nuts. Everybody's stir crazy. And my patience is running thin.
It's almost lunchtime. Why don't we go to Caitlin's? Their food is amazing. And they have those awesome baskets filled with fun to keep the kids pacified and entertained.
Oh, that sounds perfect. What is it you like to get there again?
Ooh, for starters, I love their green chili and chicken nachos. Then I usually get Mo's queso with the ground chuck patty, cheddar, and jack cheese, diced onions, tomatoes, and green chilies between two warm flour tortillas. Served with a side of green or red chili. Yum! What about you?
Well, I'm famished, so I think I'll get one of their 13 sandwiches. Maybe I'll get one of each. And I love the way you can get their sandwiches made into wraps instead. Maybe one of their bacon green chili cheeseburgers or their salads.
Honey,
or their
rein it in. Kids, we're going to Caitlin's.
Caitlin's Restaurant at the corner of Mississippi and South Birch Street, just east of Colorado Boulevard in Glendale. Open Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 2 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday, 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. Caitlin's Restaurant. You'll love it every bite of the way.
There is probably nothing more important when you're injured or have had an accident than to get the right people on your side. People who know what they're doing and truly care about you. You need the best medical team, and you also need Champions of the People, Bell and Pollock. Take it from me, Bell and Pollock are the injury attorneys other attorneys call because they know what you should know. They have the most experience and they're the very best. They get it done. Always available for a free consultation. Bell and Pollock, Champions of the People at championsofthepeople.com.
It is time for you to do the right thing if you get hurt, and that is stop trying to deal with insurance companies and all this other legal stuff while you're still trying to recover from an accident that might not even have been your fault. It's time to do a smart thing and call Bell and Pollock. You know, when I met Gary and Brad at Bell and Pollock, I went into their offices with their big championsofthepeople.com on the wall. And I thought to myself, okay, champions of the people, let's see what you got. Then I talked to them, and the way they view the law and their role in society as lawyers is so
much like the way my dad used to practice law that I was like, okay, I have to work with you guys. Gary and Brad have done a show for over a decade on KHOW where they give out free legal advice. They've been given a ton of awards from the Colorado Supreme Court for their pro bono work. They do a lot of appointments that are not necessarily going to turn into business for them, but they're happy to answer questions for people who just need a little help. This is they view their role as fighting for the little guy, no matter what kind of help the little guy needs. So if you've been hurt in an accident or you've lost someone because of someone else's negligence, call Bell and Pollock, 303-795-5900. That's 303-795-5900 for the team at Bell and Pollock. You can also find them online at championsofthepeople.com. And please remember to tell them you heard about it from Mandy Connell.
We're back with Champions of the People, the Bell and Pollock Injury Show. For over three decades, the personal injury attorneys at Bell and Pollock have provided compassionate, personalized legal service. Put their experience to work for you. Go to championsofthepeople.com or call 303-795-5900.
Are you ready? You better be ready. Fasten your seatbelt, the Bell and Pollock Injury Show. We're the champions of the people. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. Our law firm is Bell and Pollock. We are injury attorneys. We've helped injured victims for over 30 years each. We've been in business together for a long time. We know what to do and how to do it and how to navigate this insurance maze. You can win this war. But first, you must understand it's a war. Second, you must understand how and why you do what you do to win the war. You have to have a strategy. Or strategies. Enter Bell and Pollock's legal game plan. We trademark protected it. Our experience is packed into that legal game plan. All right, now under our example, we've been using the show today. You're rear-ended, you're at a stoplight. The at-fault party has the minimum $25,000 of insurance coverage. This all could apply if they had no insurance whatsoever. You go make a claim, your medical bills are $60,000. You make a claim with the with your own insurance company for the balance of your damages, injuries, and losses. And they say, your own insurance company says we're going to pay you, in our example, $15,000 extra. That's how we value your claim. And then they don't pay. And then we got the Fisher case.
Well, yeah. A practice the insurance companies like to do. Now, for many of you, this is the insurance company that you love so much that you've been paying premiums to and you think they wouldn't do this to you. Yes, they will. The practice they used to like to do is they used to say, okay, we know you got these medical bills and we know you got these people pressing on you for payment and you've been turned over to collection. And yeah, we'd be willing to give you $15,000 if you want to waive your right for everything else. You want to waive your right for the rest of your money. And you go, well, wait a minute, I have a $100,000 policy. I don't agree with you. I think I should get the full $100,000. So I want to fight over the $85,000. I agree with you that I should get $15,000 and you agree I should get $15,000. Why don't you send me the $15,000 and we'll fight over $85,000. The insurance companies used to, until the Fisher case came out, it was about four years ago.
Yeah, about 4 years ago.
4 or 5 years ago. The Fisher case came out and said, wait a minute. Insurance company, if you know you owe a certain amount, if you agree you owe a certain amount, pay them. Which, you know, really? Should it have taken, once again, a Supreme Court to have to tell an insurance company to do that? Now, the insurance companies came, oh, we want to get it all settled up in one deal. We want to get it all wrapped up at one time. It's too expensive for us to send this money out and then fight over the remaining amount. We want to get it all wrapped up at one time. What they're really saying is they wanted the leverage to be able to work you over to say, we've got this little carrot of $15,000 that would greatly affect your life of being able to get rid of maybe bill collectors, be able to help you with respect to debts or problems you run into because of your injuries. We don't want to give you that. We want to hold that over your head as an enticement to get you to give up rights. And fortunately, our Supreme Court looked through that and said, wait a minute. If you acknowledge you owe that money, send it. And of course, you know, out of that comes what from the insurance company? The next step is we don't want to tell you. We shouldn't have to tell you. We shouldn't have to tell you anything about that. We're not going to tell you what our analysis is. We're not going to tell you what our evaluations are. We're not going to tell you any of that. We're going to keep it all a secret because that's a secret. It's our negotiating point and our negotiating practice to be able not to tell you that and negotiate with you. which once again, then we had to go in and point out that's an unfair practice.
That, isn't that a deceptive trade practice? They value your claim at $15,000 under our example, and they won't pay you? This bears repeating. They valued it at $15,000. That's not enough. Your medical bills are $60,000. That's not enough. But they valued it. And when they value it, the Fisher case by the Colorado Supreme Court says you got to pay it. Now, the lawyer lingo and insurance lingo in the state now is, did they make any Fisher payments? Fisher, F-I-S-H-E-R, Fisher. Did they make a Fisher payment? A Fisher payment is once they determine what the value of your claim is. It may be wrong. It may be low. But they determine the value, so they have to pay you right now. The old practice was, well, we determine your value is $15,000, but we're not going to pay you anything. We're not going to pay you the $15,000 until you, as Brad just said a minute ago, settle your case completely and sign away all your rights to the remaining $85,000. So if you do that, we'll pay you the $15,000. You see how that worked? The Fisher case changed it. But now they try to wiggle out of that by calling it a settlement. It wasn't a value. We didn't value the case, they say. We tried to settle your case. If you ever see these letters from these insurance companies, that's exactly what they say. We will offer you $15,000 to settle your case. Then they say it was a settlement. It wasn't a valuation. It was a settlement offer. So it's protected. And that's how they try to get around it.
Sure. Now, it's a new way. The amazing part about insurance company is they'll sit there and they'll watch for any law or any case that comes out that affects what they're doing, that identifies that they're doing it wrong. And rather than going, okay, I'm doing it wrong, let's change our practices to comply with the law and to be appropriate, they look and say, how can we get around it and continue doing it, only call it a different thing? So, you know, we're just going to call it a different manner or method by which we're doing business. So it used to be they'd say, well, we valued this at $15,000. We're not going to pay you the $15,000 unless you want to sell your whole claim. And there the war would be on. Fisher came out and said, if you value it at $15,000, send them the $15,000. Fight about the parts that you're fighting about and don't hold what you know you owe. So what do? They go around it by saying, oh, we haven't evaluated it at all. We're just offering you $15,000 to settle your case so that you go away, and they hold that $15,000 out trying to get around the Fisher case. Insurance companies will continually do this. The sooner it's recognized that when you've been hurt, none of the insurance companies are your friends, the faster you'll understand that you need to get lawyers involved to protect your interests, to be able to make sure that you're not going to end out being penalized simply because you thought the insurance company would deal with you fairly.
This is war. You can win the war. You have to have attorneys that win the war. You have attorneys that have been to war before. 303-795-5900. That's 795-5900. Our website, championsofthepeople.com. That's championsofthepeople.com. Why are we talking about all this today? Why are we talking about Fisher payments? Why are we talking about deceptive trade practices? Because when they won't pay you, and in our example, you were injured, your medical bills are $60,000 and ongoing. When they won't pay you, they start to fall into the area of bad faith insurance practices. When they delay or deny your payment without a reasonable basis to do so, they start to fall into the statutory area. And now there's more leverage in your favor because the statute, if you claim under the statutory bad faith statute, you can get two times the amount of the covered benefit. Did you hear this? Two times the amount of the covered benefit, plus in some cases, attorney's fees.
And that's appropriate. Why is it appropriate? Go back to the beginning of the show when we talked about what it takes to get involved in one of these and to force the insurance company to pay you. The insurance companies used to know and used to take the position that, yeah, we're doing all these unfair practices, but if all we have to do at the end is pay what we refuse to pay and that's it, then they know you can't come after them. You couldn't do anything. If you didn't have two times covered benefit plus attorney's fees plus costs available to you, the insurance companies would drag you out every single time saying, we know that 99% of you will not come after us. Heck, they know that there's probably the majority still won't come after them because it's too much of a hassle. It takes too much time out of their lives and there's still the gamble. Are they going to be able to get in? Are you going to be able to get the two times covered benefit? Are you going to be able to get attorney's fees? Are they going to be able to at least blunt that by saying they were right on one or two issues? Because they are fully aware of the fact that you're not in the business of litigation. You're in the business of raising children, of running a household, of doing your job, of getting a paycheck, of enjoying your days with in your time off, rather with your family and with friends, rather than in having it down at a lawyer's office, poring over information that may help you or that has to help you in a case.
But, you know, many times you have no choice. Many times they put it right in your face, and they're not going to pay you, and they're not going to pay the $100,000. They're not even going to pay you $25,000. They're going to pay you the extra $15,000. And if you don't like it, just do something about it. And that's where we can help you. 303-795-5900. That's 795-5900. Our law firm is Bell and Pollock. I'm Gary Bell along with Brad Pollock. We've done cases all over the state of Colorado for over 30 years. So let's just see what we talked about today. Bad faith. First of all, you have an insurance contract. That doesn't say you can get two times your damages. That doesn't say you can get attorney's fees and costs. So then you have common law bad faith if they don't pay you properly. You also have statutory bad faith when they delay or deny your payment without a reasonable basis to do so. I'm going to repeat that. When they delay or deny your payment without a reasonable basis to do so. And if they just arbitrarily decide, or if they have a computer program that you don't know anything about that decides what they're going to pay you, is that a reasonable basis to do that? The computer program is in their favor. When they send you to their insurance company doctors, and I would really like to spend more time on that today, but they do, and you're going to a doctor that has seen 280 patients in the past 1 year, and they're not patients, they're just evaluations for insurance companies, and they get paid six figures, seven figures a year, hundreds of thousands of dollars, over $1 million to evaluate people like you, what kind of report do you think they're going to write? Is that an act of bad faith? Can you claim bad faith for that? You have to have attorneys that know the rules. We can help you. Bell and Pollock, 303-795-5900, 795-5900. Another question, when they value your claim, and this can apply to MedPay if they don't pay your medical bills. We're talking about UIM coverage today. But if they don't pay your claim, if they value it at $15,000, have you received your Fisher payments? Did they pay you how they valued the case? Yes or no? What did they do? Did they try to hold it over your head to make you waive other rights to pay you the $15,000? You're not going to put up with this. You're going to fight. You're going to win this war. You're going to call Bell and Pollock, 303-795-5900, our website, championsofthepeople.com, because we are your champions of the people. See you next week.